Hey, everybody. I'm Liz Nolly.
I'm Carrie Thomas.
And welcome to the Just Us podcast, a place for Black women navigating corporate spaces.
Love it. What's next? What are we going to do now?
Next up, we are going to do a readout where we're actually going to read a letter from, well, this time we're going to read a letter from Reddit, but in the future, we invite you to submit us your letters, and we'll drop the link in the comments, but you can go to lizthepurposecoach.com/podcast, and the form is right there, and you can send us a letter, and we'll give you live coaching on the air as part of the podcast.
Now, Liz.
Yes.
What qualifies us to be doing this?
All jokes aside, I know we have a lot of fun. Well, it's literally 30 plus years of corporate experience. This podcast is for Black women navigating corporate spaces, and we've literally been navigating corporate spaces for 30 plus years. So I think there's, you know, there's theory and there's practice, mm-hmm. and then there's lived.
Yeah.
And we have all three.
We do have all three. You as a coach, me as a PR professional also, who has helped people build their personal brand as mm-hmm. part of their careers.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I've supported C-suite executives like you.
Mm-hmm.
And you and your coaching, you definitely know how to give people the tools to help them improve their careers. So I think that's definitely what gives us the credibility to do this.
Listen, been there, done that,
right.
matters,
right?
Right? And we've both walked in these corporate streets long
exactly.
enough to know that there aren't enough of us who have been there and done that at that next level,
yeah.
right? Like VP and higher,
right?
Like we've achieved. And, you know, this is our way of giving something back. I put it this way when I, in my coaching practice, it took me 25 years to figure some of this stuff out.
Right.
So I'm on a mission to get you there faster so that it doesn't take you that long to figure it out like it took me.
Exactly.
So,
let's get to the readout.
All right. So welcome to the readout. And because this is our very first episode, we're going to go to Reddit for this one.
Okay.
But we encourage you all out there who are listening to submit your own letters. But this one is from a writer on Readout called Chronicles of Me. And her post is entitled Black Girl Navigating Corporate America.
I think this is a great kickoff to the podcast.
Yeah.
'Cause this is what we are ultimately all about.
It's why we're here. She writes, "Hey everyone, I'm looking for advice as I've been in corporate America for 4 years, starting during the peak of COVID. Most of my roles were remote, but since returning to the office, things have changed. I'm usually the only Black woman on my team, and while I get great feedback from both my managers, either white men or white women, and other leaders in different departments, and great performance evaluations, I've been laid off twice, once due to reductions and once for reorganization. I suspect my introverted nature and reluctance to share personal details might be factors, especially since none of my managers had any type of relationship with me, unlike my coworkers whom they get along with great, or at least in my case, brought in old coworkers who were white they've worked and liked before." I'm going to just pause there.
Yeah.
Remember that conversation we just mm-hmm. had around sponsorship
yep.
and people don't know you, right? When there's no conversation around you, when the conversation is, I don't really know her.
Yeah.
This is what
this
I'm
is
talking
the example.
About, right? Because even when budget cuts and things like that happen, and we've all reorged, like I've been laid off twice in my mm-hmm. career. Have
yep.
you?
Yep.
Right? So we've like being laid off, it's hard not to take it personally, but you shouldn't take it personally because it's not like a pen stroke isn't personal. It's
right.
probably the least personal thing an organization does besides
right.
make money, right?
Right.
So, but when you're on that side of it, it's hard not to take it personally and think that you're doing something wrong. But this is somebody who could totally benefit from mentorship, coaching to build her personal brand inside her organization so that she has sponsors in the room. So when they're making those decisions around who to cut and who stays and who goes, somebody's speaking for her.
And that's key because she says she's introverted nature. That's me too.
Me too.
And the hardest thing it is for me to step up and speak up oftentimes to sell myself for, you know, the talent and skills that I think I have. And that is where, like you said, sponsorship comes in because you need that person who is going to speak on your behalf when you can't or when you don't feel comfortable.
Yeah, 100%. So, I mean, people get surprised when I say I'm an introvert, but I am. I don't drink.
People told me that too.
You know, I don't drink. So going out for drinks after work and all of that.
Right.
And up until just recently. Yeah, not my thing. And like for 30 some odd years, I commuted, you know, an hour and a half one way into New York City. So staying after work wasn't my jam because I just wanted to fight my way through the traffic and make my way home.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I'm just learning to golf.
Right.
So, you know, so all of these kind of stereotypical things that we think of in terms of where those, you know, personal connections get made at work, you know, to help manage the conversation. That's not for me. It's never been for me. However, I have found a way to manage, to find my voice and make those personal connections. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes it's just having virtual tea or virtual coffee with somebody. Hey, can I get 15 minutes on your calendar? Or
right.
You're back in person, popping by somebody's office every now and then, poke your head in. Hey, how you doing? Whatever. Like asking them about the kids or what they did this weekend. Doesn't have to be long, deep, intense conversation. It's just you're in, you're out,
yeah.
or just going out to lunch with, you know, your coworkers and colleagues once in a while to kind of step outside of this kind of self-created bubble. You
yeah.
can do that in a way that's comfortable and authentic to you.
Exactly. You could have a conversation at the coffee station. I've had numerous conversations that way, and it's an opportunity to show interest in what someone might be doing. You know, I just ask a simple, like, oh, what are you working on these days?
Great question.
Yeah.
Great question.
While you're making coffee, like, you can be that introvert that you are, but you can slowly start to build your presence with people that are the decision makers or people that can influence how you're perceived.
Yeah. One of my, a friend of mine who's a superstar basketball player in college, told me, I said, well, you know, he played against all these like superstars, you know, who mm-hmm. like who you would see on TV all the time. I was like, wow, what's it like playing with him or yeah. playing with this one? And some of these guys went on to play in the NBA. And I remember asking him one time, like, how do you play against somebody like that as a
right.
mortal human being, you know, like, how do you play? He goes, you know what, Liz,
against
before every single game, I just remind myself that they put their shorts on one leg at a time, just like I do.
Exactly.
And then I go out there and I give it my best.
Right. That's all you can do.
Who these corporate leaders that are so many rungs up the food chain from you,
exactly.
like, they're just people just like
right.
you.
So. I got over being starstruck by, like, oh, he's the CEO of this multi-million-dollar company, and oh my God, now I gotta go and sit in a room with him. And as soon as you hear one sentence from them, you're like, oh, he doesn't know it either.
Exactly. That's why they all have coaches.
Right.
So anyway, let's get back into this letter. So she continues, she says, despite my strong work performance and push for advancement, I am starting to feel very discouraged in the corporate world. I will say, however, due to my RBF, I'm not sure what that means.
Oh, you know what that means.
What's RBF?
Resting.
Oh, resting. Oh, my bad. Okay. Oops, my bad. Due to my resting face, people in the office always thought that I was in a bad mood. I guess they didn't really see the need to be smiley all the time or really talk to anyone. I guess I didn't really see the need to be smiley all the time or really talk to anyone.
Listen, this is a personal peeve for me. I get her in this sentence right here. I don't always want to chit chat with my random colleague. Like, yes, I did just say go talk to the person at the coffee station, but I'm not saying you have to do that every day and it doesn't have to be a group activity.
Right.
Sometimes right. I just want to go about my business and get my work done.
Right.
I think too, you know, like this is hard for everybody. It's hard, not everybody, but it's hard for a lot of people, right? I mean, how many times do you hear white women in particular talking about what a microaggression it is for them when they're told, oh, you need to smile more, you know, and things like that. So I think as women in general, you know, like it's not just you, but to your point, you can take little steps. Right. You don't have to become the life of the party overnight.
Exactly.
Like you can just find one. There's got to be one person on the floor that you work with, one person on the team, one person, you know, outside of your like self-created corporate bubble that you can ask a simple question like, what are you working on? How is your weekend? Or just.
Yeah. And look, I don't know if there's a cure for RBF. I don't think that there is. So she has to find ways to put herself out there that, you know, doesn't feel unnatural. Like you said, she doesn't have to be the life of the party. Your RBF isn't going anywhere. So you have to take measures to kind of counteract that.
100%, because you can't change that conversation to, ooh, she got RBF, to, oh, she just has RBF. She's a sweetheart. You know what I mean? Like, there's a difference.
Oh, she's got a little RBF.
Oh, that's just her. But, you know what I mean?
You can do that, yeah. But it just takes a while.
It takes a little time to
so
build
people
those
could
connections.
Be like, oh, that's just her. She's a wonderful girl.
So it gets better for her. She says, I recently received an exciting new job offer where I connected well with the manager and her manager, both white women. I really want this job to work for many reasons, and I know I will need to have a different approach with this role since I see now being great at your job is not enough. She just preached a whole sermon. That,
yeah.
Wait.
We can go home now.
My bad. Okay. So, am I too old to do this? Probably.
Yes.
Okay. So moving on, as a first-generation professional who wasn't taught the game, well, that's why we're here. I'm seeking advice on how to not only be a great employee, but also connect with my new manager and colleagues. How can I earn their respect and build relationships that help me advance in my career? Basically, how do I get them to actually like, in all capital letters, me?
Hmm.
One quote I heard from my mentor, a black man in the same field but years older, to make yourself invaluable to them, to where they will never look your way when it comes to reductions, but for promotions. How do I do that? ! Any advice is appreciated so much. I'll start.
Please do, because I have so many emotions right now.
First of all, you don't have to like people that you work with to work with them. One of the things that, can I say the P word on air? Pledging? Can I say that?
No.
Oh, okay. I can't say pledging. But one of the ways of coming in old school in my sorority taught me, I could say that.
Yes.
Okay. Was that you can learn to work with people you don't know, and you can work with people you don't even like. Okay. So abandon that limited belief that it's always about people liking you. Okay. What you need to do is share enough of yourself so that people feel connected with you. That translates into like, right? When the conversation is being had at performance review roundtables and that sort of thing. But they just need to know you. They probably already know your work, but they need to know a little bit about the personality that goes with that work.
I think she asked the question, how can I earn their respect? And I think that's more important than whether they like you or not. They have to know, this person is competent, can do the job, and will be a team player.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's it. And getting that across is, to me, the most important thing. I could care less how much somebody actually likes me. Really. As long as you are fair when it comes to, she does good work, she's a good employee, she's supportive. That's all I need.
100%. I used to be a major corporate people pleaser, and it got me so far, but after a while, it got me nothing.
Yeah.
And when I got so mad, I remember being in a meeting one time. This was back when we were working together. I just, what to me felt unleashed, and just was like, and people were like, oh, okay, we got it. And everybody was like, good job. And I thought like, oh, okay. So it wasn't like I didn't have to be Susie Sunshine, the people pleasing, kumbaya kind of a person. I just had to do what needed to be done in that moment and be a leader, whether or not I had a position of leadership, and be a contributor and show my value. That mattered more than quote unquote likability.
Right.
It's about connection.
I want her to learn that early on and not feel like that's something that she needs to strive for, because then that's going to impact her ability to succeed going forward, because she's always going to be like, oh, I need to get this person to like me. Oh, I need to get that person to like me. And I know we talked about adaptability, but that's not adaptability.
No, it's not.
So, yeah.
100%. So there were some good answers in here. This one person responded to her saying, here's what worked for them.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, smiling when I talk, making your boss look good. Yes.
Yeah.
That's teamwork from the Wu-Tang Clan right there.
Exactly.
If you make other people look good, Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis were members of the Time, right? But their careers didn't skyrocket, and they didn't get into the real ka-ching of things,
right?
Making money, until they started making people like Janet Jackson and other people look great,
mm-hmm.
right? Writing, producing, it's not a word, A&Ring and helping, like doing whole artist development, making other people look good. And they built their entire careers around it as an example, right? So I think that's a great lesson in corporate America. It's not about you all the time. It's about making other people, particularly your boss, look good. But this other person continues and says, saving a few minutes at the beginning of meetings for small talk.
Yeah.
That's that coffee talk.
I like that.
Right? Like chit chat. It doesn't, if only for a minute or two.
Don't come into the conference room and sit down in the far corner and not say anything until the meeting starts. Like, I think it's fine to just have a conversation. Hey, how you guys doing?
That's body language is so important. Sit next to somebody in the room. Or if you're the first one there, sit like smack dab in the middle of the room to force other people to sit next to you or across from you. And when they come in, good morning. Hey, how you doing? How was your commute?
That's it.
Like, how crazy was the weather? Did you see the game last night or what? Like, small talk.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be fake, phony, pretentious. It could just be, hey, how you doing?
Right.
How's your day? I'm glad it's 4:00.
Right. Exactly. Congratulating and thanking people. That's leadership level behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Pleases and thank yous cost nothing. So you should have an endless supply of them in your at your disposal at any time. And then
not
the last
to say thank you.
Yeah. And then the last bit of advice that the other readers gave her was helping others and asking for help. So it's interesting. In corporate America, a lot of people think that their officially assigned work is the only work that they can do. And a lot of times you can raise your hand for a stretch assignment, for an extra assignment. You know, don't let it get in the way of the day job that they hired you for. But if there's a project team and your boss is saying, hey, guys, we're going to be rolling out this huge thing, you can go to your boss and say, you know what, that project sounds really interesting to me. I would love to help with that. You know,
I have been sometimes I have been loaned out to so many different teams that people don't know what team I'm actually on. My last job, I supported finance, HR, technology in some way, shape, or form, transformation in some way, shape, or form, because my reputation was she can fill in that role for you and she can support you in that. And so people then come to me and ask me, can you help out on this? Or if it's something I'm really interested in, of course I'm going to be like, let me know if you need some help with that.
And that's how you find sponsors. And that's how your sponsors find you.
Yeah. Now, I don't agree with her mentor who said, make yourself invaluable to them to where they never look your way when it comes to reductions or promotions, because that's just not realistic to me.
True.
But you can make yourself invaluable to them in knowing that if a certain task comes across their desk, you're the right person for it.
100%. It's about connection. It's really about connection, because if they know your skill set, your work ethic, how you do things and things of that nature, then they'll think of you as, and even if your position gets eliminated, then they'll be like, but you know what? Carrie's great at blah, blah, blah. Maybe we could put her over here.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
So
there's other opportunities, and be open to opportunities to expand your skills as well. So it doesn't limit you.
Raise your hand. I raised my hand. The company I work for was launching a corporate foundation. And, you know, I love community service. So I told my boss, I was like, oh, I want to work on that. In some capacity, I want to work on it. And what was great about it, one, it was a great opportunity to blend my personal and professional passions. But two, I met senior executives from all different corners of the organization who I would never otherwise have a chance to work with, including one that's currently my big boss because I volunteered for that assignment.
Yeah.
So just to recap Black Girl Navigating Corporate America, get you a coach, leverage your mentors, and step out of your comfort zone, leverage that small talk to build the conversation around you to help. What else would be your parting thought?
My parting thought would also be to, like we said, be open to engaging in small talk just to make those connections. You might find shared interest with someone else just through doing that too.
100%. And you could do it in an authentic kind of a way.
Yeah.
But get you a coach. You need a
Definitely get a coach.
And leverage your mentors.
Find another mentor. Not that guy.
And you can have more than one mentor, more than one coach, more than one sponsor. You can have multiple of those roles on your personal board of directors, by
the way. Basically how we started the episode, build your board of directors.
100%.
And carry it through.
Period. Okay, I'm too old to say that. I'm sorry. My bad.
You're not. That's us. That's our generation. Okay. We started with the period.
Okay. All right. Well, that wraps up the readout session. Section of the program. Why can't I talk tonight? And we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll come back for Boss It or Toss It.
Yay! I can't wait.
Are you a business owner, entrepreneur, or a brand with an incredible story to tell, but struggling to get the word out? In today's crowded market, getting noticed is tougher than ever. There's been countless incredible businesses with powerful messages that have just gotten lost in the noise. That's where Imagine PR and Marketing comes in. We don't just craft press releases. We become the voice of your brand, meticulously developing and telling your unique story in a way that truly resonates with your audience and gets attention. Ready to transform your brand's visibility? Visit ImaginePRM.com today.
So I'm so excited. Welcome to the first ever Just Us podcast version of Boss It or Toss It. And we're just going to let out and have a little bit of fun. And these are just things that, you know, when we're, when it's just us and us talking, how do we feel about it? If we like something, we're going to boss it
or toss it.
And if we don't, we're going to toss it.
And so when we came up with the concept for this first episode about Black women navigating corporate America, we were thinking, like, what kind of boss it or toss it would fit with this subject matter? And I think we came up with an excellent one, because one of our favorite things is sitcoms, Black sitcoms in particular. So let's talk about some TV career moms.
Woohoo! Love it.
All right.
All right. So first up, the matriarch, the OG, that would be Florida Evans.
Boss it or toss it.
Boss it or toss it. You're going to toss it. Damn. How do you want
Florida Evans? Florida Evans is so problematic for me. She always has been, but in 2025, she is really, she's very, how do I say, she's very mainstream supportive, if that makes sense.
Understood, but off-screen, Esther Roll was a boss.
Esther Roll, completely different person.
To have a Black father figure on the show.
Yes.
So I'm going to boss up Florida.
Okay.
Just for Esther Roll.
Boss up.
And speaking of the confluence of the actress and the character they play, and staying with Good Times,
okay,
Penny's mom.
Penny's mom.
You know what she did to Janet Jackson.
I'm a boss it.
You got boss it? Yeah. For real? After what she did to and after she tried to play Lilona like that, I was going to toss her like all day.
You could toss her. I'm a boss.
Oh,
this is why I'm a boss her.
Okay.
Because in the end, she reformed herself and she came back to be a good mom. However,
I don't like it. I don't like it. Had me scared of irons and like.
Well, a lot of these youngsters won't know the context.
That's all right. They can Google it, but scarred me until I couldn't sleep until I saw Charlene on Different Strokes and I knew that Janet Jackson was okay.
All right. So you tossed it for Penny's mom, but what about her other mom, Wilona?
Before we get to Wilona, Chip Fields is a boss in real life.
Chip Fields is a boss in real life.
So shout out to her.
As is her daughter.
Yes. Shout out to them.
Shout out
to them. So Wilona, boss.
Boss it.
Boss. Boss. Boss all day.
Listen,
she did her thing at the boutique.
Exactly. She was a career woman.
And was one of the original Black adopting mothers, an adopted mom myself.
Yes.
Boss and Wilona all day.
Listen. Let me say this.
Plus, she mixed it up with James.
She did. And Buffalo Butt.
Yep. But all day.
Wilona is the epitome of rich auntie.
Yes. The original.
The original
TV rich auntie. 100%. Shout out
Love
to her.
Wilona.
And she sang the theme song.
And she sang the theme song.
When Georgia Weezy moved on up. Speaking of which, Let's talk about Miss Wheezy. How about Louise Wheezy Jefferson?
I'm a bosser.
I'm a bosser too.
Yeah.
Bosser.
There's no one who can handle George the way
Not
Louise
it.
Could.
She boss all day.
And he loved that woman too.
Yeah. When he used to sing Mona Lisa for her. Anyway, yes.
Okay, so on okay. the subject of the Jeffersons.
Lenny Kravitz's mother. I know that wasn't her name on the show, but...
Her name was Helen.
Okay, but Lenny Kravitz's mother. Thank you. Thank you, Helen Willis, for giving us the living gift that keeps on giving that is Lenny Kravitz.
That's true.
But Roxy Roker.
Yes.
Let's call her and recognize her and honor her by her government.
Al Roker's cousin.
Boss all day.
Definitely a boss, because she also... could get with George. She had a powerful corporate husband, and she was able to navigate those spaces.
And
so,
100%.
Give it up for Helen.
100%. And speaking of power couples, the yeah. one, the only, Miss Claire Huxtable.
Claire Huxtable, boss it.
Boss it.
Let me just
all
say
day.
That.
All day.
She is... The character Claire Huxtable is my aspiration, even though I never got married and don't have kids. If
my
I would have, I would have wanted to be Claire.
She equally yoked for days with her husband.
Absolutely.
Could be that corporate, play that corporate game, but
she
could read
smart,
Vanessa with and Elvin and whoever else needed
so
to be read.
Big fun.
Fun with the wretched. Like, she could read you.
Of course.
But then be that corporate person, too.
They showed that on episode 1 when
okay.
she came down them steps, her very first scene. She came down them steps as a black mother.
Okay.
And I love that about her.
I love
So
love
Claire Huxtable
Claire
will
Huxtable
always
for
be
days.
My number
boss.
One.
Boss, mm-hmm. boss, boss, boss. Okay. Harriet Winslow. Family Matters.
What you got?
I'm going to boss her. I'm going to boss it. She, because, and I'm bossing it because of this. She started out as a minor character on another show.
She did.
Got the spinoff.
Perfect Strangers.
Exactly. And was captivating enough. And when the show, and I know they had their drama off screen when it became the Urkel show and all of that kind of stuff, but Harriet Winslow and Carl Winslow, like, she just looks like your mama. She looks like your auntie. Like, you know her from church or the family reunion. She probably is skilled enough to give you the money for the DJ on the sly and bake the mac and cheese on Christmas.
See, that's
I'm just saying.
I'm a boss her, but I don't think Harriet could make the mac and cheese.
No, for real?
She does not like
exactly.
she can make
She's
the mac
like
and cheese
so
to me.
Real. And like that mm-hmm. mom. And
no. She should be a rich auntie.
I give you rich auntie vibes. But but on the show, she raised two good humans and one that went missing, went up the stairs and never came back. But the other thing that I like about Harriet was that she didn't look like a stereotypical black TV mom. Like,
true.
She wasn't like, you know, there's so many beautiful shades of black, and she was a beautiful shade of black.
Yeah.
And she's just stunning in her own way, and she looks like somebody, like, she was so relatable.
She looks like a real person.
A real person.
And as opposed to being glamorous
a
or...
supermodel, whatever.
Right.
Or stereotypical in a negative way.
Yeah.
She's
exactly.
just...
Yeah.
All right, cool. All right, speaking of which, the OG, original Aunt Viv, go.
Boss it.
Boss all day.
There's nothing else to say. It's original Aunt Viv.
Everybody does now. I just...
No, nobody like her.
New Aunt Viv?
Wait.
Sorry. Don't want to run out of... Don't want to run out of...
The only reason I'm tossing for new Aunt Viv is because she... The original character was so strong and outgoing, and she was so docile. And it kind of like took her back.
It did.
Now, if we talk about the new series.
I haven't seen that. I need to watch it.
New Aunt Viv, boss all
oh,
that.
Oh, for real? Okay. Yes. Okay. All right. Yes. I got to check that out. Maybe we'll make her another list. Put her on another list in a future episode. All right. So now we go in 90s. Gina on Martin.
Boss.
I know she wasn't a mom, but.
She wasn't, but she was a career woman.
Boss it. Yeah.
Martin.
Now. Yeah, she's a little annoying, but.
Gina on
My Wife and Kids.
Even though her name wasn't Gina. She's always going to be Gina.
She's always Gina. Gina and House Party. Gina. Like, she's just always Gina. No disrespect, but like.
Girl, you Gina.
She's Gina forever.
My Wife and Kids. Boss it.
Yeah. Okay, moving on. We speak in some some unspoken black conversation right. happening right
so
here.
We here.
Okay. How about Dr. Rainbow Johnson?
Oh my gosh. Rainbow is the second coming of Claire Huxtable.
Okay. Her hair game is fire.
There is nothing you can tell me about Rainbow
that
I'm going to dislike.
Come on now. Come on. Me too.
Nothing. That's my girl. Boss all day.
All day. And last but not least on the list is Cookie Lyon.
I'm a boss it.
Me too. Cookie was ratchet. She was also fearless.
Exactly.
She was loyal. You know, she wasn't no snitch. She got a little crazy at the end, but she loved that man.
She loved Lucius. She loved her kids. She tried to do the best she could for them, even though they didn't always want to listen. And sometimes she had to go a little across the line to get it done the right way. But let me tell you, that woman was a boss.
Yes, she was.
And she was very well respected, too.
Yes, she was.
So, shout out to Cookie. Shout out to all our boss TV moms. All right, Liz. All right.
With that.
That's it.
We out. We'll see y'all next time. Wait. Let's raise the glass. Shameless plug.